on. And within a minute,
yeah.
you know, it's like my attitude was different. My countenance was different simply because I was now not focusing on my problems, on my irritations, on my chicken, but I was saying, God, you are great and you're greatly to be praised. And if we can put our hope in God, praise him more during our day, it will make us happier as wives.
Even in the midst of frustrating moments, your hope comes from God. More at familyminute.org.
Good morning and welcome to One-on-One with the Pros. Kurt Mead is with us here with the Wellspring Clinic. How are you doing there today, Kurt?
Doing great, Tom. How are you getting along?
Well, you know, nice and crisp and cool. Kind of a nice morning, but I guess we got to get used to it here for a while.
Well, that's
seasons
right.
do change.
Oh, they do. Which kind of, it breaks the monotony.
It does. We're talking about environments today, safe and secure environments. For
safe
that
and secure environments. Safe and, let's just put it this way, safe and secure environments in the veal.
Yeah.
Hmm. So how do we get there, Tom?
How do we get there?
Well, I tell you, probably what you hear on the news and reading in the magazines and talking to people on the street, it's all about the economy.
It's all about the economy, silly?
All about the economy, silly. And the necessary, you know, we think we that's the necessary provisions for life is our food, shelter, and clothing.
That's what many people believe.
That many people believe in that, and that's what sets our standard of living.
Yeah, it does.
And we labor and we work and we toil for the provisions.
Yes, and it seems like folks kind of want to put little different levels on those provisions. You know, I might have a place to live, but some might say, well, that's mighty fine, or, gee, don't you think you can do better? It seems like nobody else is ever satisfied with what we got.
Nope.
And it's kind of funny because really none of their business.
And then that thinking gets into our head and we think, well, if I'm making $50,000 a year, I have enough money to appear like I'm making $100,000 a year.
Oh, that's where you get in trouble.
Or how about if I'm making $250,000 a year, I'm gonna just live like I'm a millionaire.
Oh, that's a whole lot of trouble.
I talked to a young man one time. He's trying to date this girl on the internet, and he said, "Well, yeah, I kind of decided not to because the more I checked into her finances and this and that, she's making over $100,000 a year, but she didn't have good enough credit to buy her a car."
What? Yeah, that'll take you for a loop.
So, you know, the economy, Tom, it's really only what money can buy.
Yeah.
We want that almighty token in our pocket. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we kind of like you said earlier, how much is enough?
Yeah, there you go, because it seems to be open-ended in a lot of societies.
It is.
I do remember back in the 1960s as a kid.
You're not that old.
Oh, yeah, I am.
Okay.
But there were a few independent business people that, you know, we found out later in life after they passed away, they were loaded. But they just lived right down the street. They had a modest home, had a modest automobile. Their kids went to school with everybody else, and they fit into the community just fine. And it seemed to me that, well, maybe they did that for a few reasons. And maybe most of it was because it didn't matter.
Well, I think maybe we've reversed roles, because there's a realtor here in town. And she said, you know, I can't say most, but many people who buy these nice, oh, I don't know, homes, $300,000, $500,000, they have no intention on living there for any length of time. They just basically pay the interest, and then they'll find something else.
Oh, wow. Goodness sakes. Makes you wonder if they even bothered to put furniture in there.
Well, I tell you what, I've seen some homes that they don't have furniture because they can't afford furniture after they pay the mortgage.
Wow. That just seems to be, it seems that some folks just don't quite have a handle on what's important now, do they?
No, they don't. And you bring up a good point, Tom. And this is really, it's kind of a cross-grained our thinking, but we have two opposing economies. Mm-hmm. We have the economy of the world, and then we have the economy of God. Mm-hmm. And we kind of want to blend those two together. And if I can blend the economy of the world to what I perceive to be economy of God, then it's kind of like a co-promise. You know, I have something that is of value, and I promise it to you, but then I turn right back around and I promise it to Kevin.
Hmm.
It's a co-promise, and basically that's where the word compromise comes from.
Co-promise.
Co-promise. And what I'm doing is I'm trying to live a moral Christian life, but don't dig too deep into my pocketbook or I'll have that snake bite you.
Mm-hmm. So you're living on both sides of the street at the same time.
I'm living on, and so when I do that, Tom, it's good for me in the flesh because I can set my own standard of measure.
Sure.
I can set my own standard. Well, what's right for Tom might not be right for me. I mean, I'm glad he's living that way, but I don't have to live that way. I have my own personal standard, mm-hmm. and I think that doesn't quite work that way.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is when I live that way, I can live a very vague, generic life.
Mm-hmm.
But I can appear godly.
You can appear all you want.
I can appear that it's advantageous to me, and it is advantageous to me, but something has gone awry.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can be outwardly wealthy but inwardly poor. I've heard that term used a lot. Is this kind of where we're going today?
Yeah, it's kind of where we're going. And, you know, people say, well, I could give my stuff up in a heartbeat. I mean, it doesn't mean that much to me. Well, you know, Jesus asked that rich young ruler to give his stuff up, and he couldn't do it.
Couldn't pull the trigger.
I'll tell you what, Tom. What happens is the resources we depend upon, they are the test that we're tested with here in this life. What am mm-hmm. I doing with them?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, if you can't be faithful with the least of things, which is the resource, I mean, we mm-hmm. think that the most.
Yeah.
You know? But Jesus said, if you can't be faithful with the least, how can you be faithful with true riches?
Oh, yeah. Now we're talking a whole new ballgame here.
Now we're talking, and it's hard because we don't really understand that principle there. I mean, we're kind of blinded to the fact that like when we're printing up you're printing the Sunrise Reporter and preparing it for me,
mm-hmm.
if I'm just, you know, kind of don't always come up here at a certain time, you don't know if I'm going to be here at 5:15 or 6:15. I mean, it probably wouldn't bother you, but still, it's kind of nice to have a set standard.
It is. You know, that way we can interdepend upon each other, and we can work together, and we can work as a team.
As a team, and that's why we have stuff like speed limits. I mean, it puts boundaries on my limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I can't obey the boundaries of God, how can I expect to obey anything else?
Yeah, there you go.
And you know what happens is Eve, and I would say also Lot's wife, something got into their thinking where they were willing to sacrifice who they were.
Yeah. You know, if Adam and Eve were Cajun, they would have just ate the snake.
They just would ate the snake. Sorry, I like that.
That
you know,
right.
Would it have been barbecued?
Probably.
Probably so. So what we want to do this morning, Tom, take a closer look at evil.
Okay. Is that a wise thing to do? Do you want to get that close today? Or are we just examining under the microscope?
Well, I tell you what, evil has different faces, and we know uh-huh. evil's out there. We know, you know, I had one gentleman tell me, he said, I don't believe hell is real. Well, you know, the Bible talks
about it. One way to find out.
One way to find out. And, you know, we don't really want to get, like you say, we don't want to get too close to evil because it might come up and bite me.
Yeah. You don't want that.
Don't want that. So when you recognize that there is evil out there and recognize how it works, I mean, we in the I'm going to say, I'm going to include myself, we in the church world, we don't know how evil works. We know it's out there.
Oh, yeah.
We know there's a devil, but we don't really understand his chain of command.
Or if there is any. It sounds it seems to me that evil is ruled by chaos.
Yeah, right. Well, and
that chaos is the big weapon.
That's a good point. It's a big weapon. It's the strategic plan of the evil one to create chaos. Mm-hmm. But that's not his kingpin.
No.
That the chaos is, I might say, that's his
modus operandi.
Yep. That's it. The chaos is out there, and the fear is out there, and that's the second command.
Hmm.
But the first in command, if the evil one can get me to do this, then he is well on his way to capturing my attention. Because he wants to create a dialogue in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can create a dialogue in my mind, then half the battle is won for him.
Oh, indeed. Because he's taking up that space where God needs to be.
Yeah. And we know how hard it is to keep God in that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult.
So he's vying for that space always.
He's vying for that space. So we need to take a look at the blueprint, the design for evil. These illicit spirits, how do they operate?
Mm. How do they?
Well, we'll find out. We get the biggest glimpse, the best glimpse, probably in the book of Exodus.
Okay.
It breaks down six major enemies of God.
Okay.
And God said, you have to drive them out. You have to drive them out of the land, or they're going to come back and haunt you for the rest of your life.
Hmm.
And the first spirit, which was actually an enemy to Israel, wasn't a spirit then, but it just through the years has dawned on me, or is really the past few months, that this evil entity, it was a spirit, even though it was working in a enemy of God. And that is the spirit of the Amorite. What does the Amorite do?
What, I don't know.
What he does is he challenges God's authority.
Well, that's not wise.
He challenges anybody's authority. You could be the president, he'll challenge your authority.
That sounds like a troublemaker.
Yeah, but that didn't happen here in America. We wouldn't challenge a president's authority.
Yeah, we would. Is it a day that ends in Y? I see that happening all the time.
All the time. And it doesn't have to be a godly endeavor. Any type of authority he can challenge, create that dialogue to say, hey, how's that person any better than you? You can run the country better than that.
This is a disruptor. This is really a one who wants to stir the pot.
Stir the pot.
Now, sometimes stirring the pot can work well because good ideas can come from a good stirring.
Right.
But some are just stirring it to be stirring it.
Stirring
it
just
sounds like this is what this character is up to.
And that's exactly what he does. And he's not afraid to publicly go against or challenge God, the Amorite.
Mm-hmm.
He has a game plan, and he's gonna work his game plan to the best of his stinking ability.
Oh boy!
And so we gotta recognize, okay, where am I at? I mean, I send to churches all the time. Mm-hmm. People talking about other people talking about other churches. I mean, it's easy. It's easy to create that dialogue in my mind to give in to what the enemy wants me to do.
Divide.
Do what?
Simply divide.
Simply, yep. Yep. And so what happens if he gets in, he's the kingpin, then he can grab his partner, which is the high tide spirit. And kind of like you said earlier, the high tide spirit, he's the doorway to amazing confusion and spectacular fear.
Hmm.
So, you know, here I'm going to challenge God, Eve. I'm going to challenge God's authority. I'm going to challenge his commandments. I mean, it's not so bad. I can bend the rules a little bit. Then the high tide spirit comes in, and he causes confusion, and he causes fear. So that's a good thing. I mean, if in the flesh, if I challenge God, then I can walk in pride. But I have to recognize fear and confusion is right around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Are you up for that challenge now, son?
Are you up for that challenge now? And so, like I say, there are 60 spirits, and I just want to touch on 2, 3, or 4 of them, Tom, mm-hmm. to kind of give us an idea of how they operate. So the third spirit, after that has happened, we have the parasite spirit. and what that spirit does. See, if I can't be content with what God's provided, with God's commandments, not recognizing that Jesus said, oh, little flock, it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, if I don't believe that, and then I want to operate in fear and confusion and allow that fear and confusion to operate in other people's life by the words I speak, then that next spirit is a spirit that divides.
Oh, boy.
It'll divide families through divorce. It'll divide nations through politics. You know, it's just out there, and it doesn't play favorites.
No, it just wants to disrupt and divide.
It just wants to, yep. And Jesus said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And I guarantee, Tom, I don't know of anyone that doesn't believe this world, this country is very, very divided now.
I think the whole world is starting to get that way.
Yeah.
I can't turn on the television without a riot here or a riot there or political unrest here or in some cases a religious or philosophical unrest other places.
That's it. So
South Pole seems to have it together, but everybody else, they're kind of iffy.
I might reserve a reservation at the Holiday Inn up there in the South Pole.
That
might be a place to go.
There you go.
And see, we always want to escape that. And we think here in Burrsville, in the Ville, we're safe and secure. We have a decent economy, and that stuff can't come into the Ville.
It's been seeping in over the last 10 years.
over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's found its way here.
So as you mentioned earlier, are we up for the challenge? Are we equipped to face what is already upon us? Jesus said, Paul said in Timothy, in the last days, dangerous times will come. Dangerous times will come. And, I want to believe that I'm equipped to face the challenge. But, Tom, that gets me back to the fourth spirit. We got the Amorite who publicly challenges God. You know, we see it all over the media. It runs rampant out there. So we got we got the spirit that publicly challenges God. We got the spirit that comes in and causes fear and confusion. We got the spirit that divides. So I need as a person, I need some type of security. Well, that's where the Canaanite spirit comes in.
Mm-hmm.
He subdues through merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
He can keep me quiet because I don't want to lose my house. I don't want to lose my job. I can't be too religious fanatical because it just, I can talk a good talk, in church, but out in public, what's it going to cost me?
Mm-hmm. So you get subdued, you get, your behavior is modified in
That's
a different
it.
Direction.
That's it. You're subjected to the wiles of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't even recognize it because we don't even know how the enemy works.
Mm.
So like Jesus told the church in Laodicea, it said, you have all these riches, you have all this gain, you have everything that the world would offer, but he said, don't you recognize you're blind, you're naked, you're wretched? That doesn't sound like a good church.
No, no.
No.
Sounds like that's not where you want to be.
Not where you want to be. And it's all, I almost hate to say this, but it's all for the love of money, Tom. It's all about the economy. We can soft sell something, but we don't want to have our lifestyle disrupted.
And nobody does.
Nobody does, except maybe John the Baptist.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, his got disrupted pretty abruptly.
And he disrupted other people's life.
Well, he did that too.
And you look where John the Baptist came from. His dad was a priest, a well-respected priest, serving or burning incense in the temple when the angel appeared to him and says, you're going to have a son. So you're looking at two contrasting individuals. You're looking at a highly respected priest versus a wild-haired, almost wild-looking animal in the desert. It doesn't make sense.
Mm-mm.
But you know what's not, Tom?
What?
God doesn't make sense.
You got that right.
So, he has ways of putting things in our face that we think, I'm going to pull up a little bit of a porno site. No one will know about that. Or I'll go to Tulsa and go to a strip joint, and, you know, no one will know about that. Well, what Satan will do, he's the god of this world. What he'll do is eventually he'll just put it in our face. Here, so you can have what you want without even going to these places, dark alleys. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I give you an example?
Sure.
But that article there that in the...
Okay. Oh, yeah. Women not permitted to be topless in Bartlesville.
Women not permitted to be topless in... So what we can do, Tom, we can just shut our door to evil?
Mm-hmm.
Can we shut our door to evil? And it won't come in?
Good question. You can try to protect yourself from just about anything or everything, but things do find a way.
Things do find a way. And I'm thinking, Tom, you know, we want to keep things out of our nation, but, mm-hmm. you know, like you said earlier, they have crept into our nation over the past few years. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as long as it's in our nation, but it's not in our state, we're all right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens when it becomes in our state? Well, you know, it's in our state, but not in our community.
Everybody still thinks they have a border or a perimeter or some sort of protection.
That's it. Mm-hmm. So what do I do when I see tanks rolling down Frank Phillips, like in Germany or Poland?
Well, that would be a bit astonishing, yeah.
So am I going to be able to lock my door to that?
A lot of good will do you. Your house is a lot like my house. It ain't going to stand up to a tank or anything.
It's not going to stand up. And you know, we talk
for
about...
For people to live, not a fortress.
Well, you know, I told the people a few days ago, yesterday, I said, all Satan needed to do was generate a interest in Eve's mind. I said, I can throw out two words at you, and your mind will explode. And they kind of looked at me and said, topless women.
Well, right there, folks just looked at their speaker. What
are you talking about? Uh-huh. You know, and I had one individual say, well, you know, those who do that, they probably won't be very good looking. I thought, well, we're not in a position to rate. We're in a position to flee.
Yeah, I mean, it's not one of those. It's completely different than what a lot of people think. So, good heavens.
So just imagine, Tom, say this.
I'm kind of old for this.
Let me give you an illustration real quick. Mm-hmm. Say we're in a windowless room here.
Okay.
And I turn the light off. Yep. And the only light you have is creeping out underneath your door.
Yeah, okay.
And that the light out there is something you want to get to. It's kind of like Eve or Lot's wife. They see something out there and they think, yeah, it's better beyond the door. But vice versa, if I turn the light on in here, turn the light off out there, I'm living in the light.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens?
They're longing for it.
Yeah, what happens? These enemies want me to believe that I'm living in the dark.
Hmm.
And this might be a good place to go to our advertisement.
Let's do that.
Okay. We have Aaron's Performance in Auto Repair, and he's just a top-notch man who can just do about anything on your car. And if you'd like to contact Aaron, you can reach him at 918-440-9754, 440-9754. He's on the way to Dewey on the west side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have Can-Am Lawn Care. And Can-Am Lawn Care, at this time of year, they're probably getting mowers ready for next year, doing maybe some blade sharpening. I know they trim bushes. They've trimmed my bushes several times. They mm-hmm. do light hauling. They just do a variety of things. So if you'd like to contact Can-Am, their number is 534-8045, 534-8045.
You can't miss them. They're all over town. They're buzzing all over trying to get from here to there.
So you've noticed that too, have you?
Yes, I have. They're busy.
They're busy. So Tom, we just touched upon a few things this morning, but the main mm-hmm. thing is we know we need to know, and it's difficult, but we need to know how to address these spiritual forces.
Uh-huh.
I mean, how can I address them if I don't even know how they work?
True.
You know, how can I rescue someone else when I myself don't want to be rescued?
Oh, that's a tough spot.
That's a That's a tough spot. And, you know, you look at the news, and one thing that hits me is we have political firestorms going on out there. I mean, it is terrible.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
So this day and age in which we live, people might think, well, you know, what's this guy talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, this sounds like almost like Bible prophecy and evil spirits and this and that. Well, I guarantee one thing, God's word is true.
Mm-hmm.
And he said in the end times, the gold will be tested. And what the gold is that the faith of man will be tested. And there's a group, a holy nation of people who, they're not going to wait until the last minute to prepare themselves.
They're already prepared.
And that's what we do at the clinic. I tell him, you know, I said, I can't guarantee I'm going to escape the things coming upon the world, but at least I can do my best to prepare us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to, you know, these cappuccino and cupcake fellowships, they're not going to last.
Mm.
You know, God wants a people who have a backbone, and he wants people who are bold. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 28:1, the righteous are as bold as a lion. You know, I'm not afraid to get up here and be bold in what I believe. I have to be.
Well, yeah, you have to be. You do. If righteousness is going to survive, you have to be bold, especially in places where it might be dangerous to be bold.
It might be dangerous, and it may even become more dangerous, Tom. I don't know. I mean, I don't want it to become more dangerous.
No.
Same way you appear during a time of a severe thunderstorm. You don't want that thunderstorm to be dangerous.
No.
But you're definitely going to warn the community.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
You're going to have to, yeah. Because the Bible says in Ezekiel, if I don't, you know, if we, knowing what's taking place, if we don't warn the people, the blood's on my hands.
You got to do your best.
You got to do your best. And that's what we do at Wellspring, Tom. We have our journaling. We have our quiet time. We supplement it with DVD instruction. And it's all about getting to the place where we know that we're right with God, and we have to stay right. It's just not a one-time come to the altar and you're saved. It's a daily thing. So you have any questions or comments?
Well, you know, the thing is that you've opened the door a little bit. You've made the invitation. Mm-hmm. Let's tell folks where they can find the open door.
918-397-0284, 918-397-0284. I know this is probably kind of twisted people's thinking, Tom, but, you know, I'm not one to just go along with the crowd. You just swim down a river, and you got to be willing to swim upstream at times.
Well, you do, because life's going to throw that curve at you, and it's going to feel like you're swimming upstream. You got to be ready. Back to being prepared.
Back to being prepared, and we do that at 132 Southeast Chalwell. 132 Southeast Chalwell. My hours are normally late morning till early afternoon, and like I say, I'm almost always on call. I'll answer my phone, and I'm willing to take any type of questions or comments, because I'm all about helping people really understand what's taking place.
And it's a place where you can find clarity. It's a place where you can find strength when you don't have it. And it's a place where you can, first and foremost, find some direction.
That's it. And Tom, really, I really appreciate the Potters. They don't censor what I say up here. I mean, there's not very many places that will allow you to do that nowadays. They don't mm-hmm. want you to get too religious, you know, on the air.
I've worked for places like that before. They get a little funny about that. But where we are right now, it's a good place.
It's a good place. And I know, now this is off the subject totally, but I noticed this morning the battering you had between Phil and you and Kevin. I mean, you just really have fit in well here, and I just really had a lot of humor. Plus, you know, you're able to get back to the serious side, and that's neat. I mean, not very many people have that ability.
Well, sometimes life, you have to shake it up a little bit in order to get people's attention. And once you get their attention, you know, and the information that they need and things like that, sometimes humor helps to get their attention, and then you can go on with the information. You know, and so it's just different ways of communicating and you know, opening doors.
Yep. You've done a great job, and I'm going to sign off for this week, and I will see you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with a Professional, a paid presentation at 1400 K1. American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Portalsville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWL.